thought today as we are here in the Thanksgiving season, a time of praise and remembering God's blessings, that we could tie into this series that we've been having this fall on exceeding our limits. I'd like for you to turn inside your bulletin there under the section called Communicating. And there's that passage of Scripture that we have been studying together for actually 2 months now. At least we've been referring to it. I'd like for us to say it together before we invite the Spirit's presence with us. There under Communicating, the one that begins, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly," that's the one, remember? Let's say it together. "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And as we are in this Thanksgiving season, and as we begin our study together today, let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? Do you believe that this morning? I'm going to keep asking you that question. There are several more studies in this series that I believe the Lord has impressed me to bring to our church family. And I think we need to remind ourselves of the power of God to come into our lives and stretch and mold and influence our lives in ways that we have never thought before. And today is an example, very simple thought from this passage of Scripture, but nevertheless, it's a very meaningful one, and it's one that can change the fabric of our relationships together as God's people. It can change the fabric of our faith. Indeed, it can free our faith. Let's pray together. Father, may Thy Holy Spirit come with power. We're talking about the Holy Spirit's presence, but we're talking about how specifically the Holy Spirit works in our lives today. And we pray that we will understand. We pray that our hearts will be open. And we trust that You will be able to do more for us than we've ever thought, and that our relationships together can be stronger and richer and fuller because of our study today. We pray in Thy name. Amen. Well, our passage today has this very interesting contrast here in verse 18, where Paul says, "Do not get drunk with wine, but rather," he says, "be filled with the Holy Spirit of God." Paul has some unusual ways of getting points across, and here he has a very strong, sharp contrast. In fact, I don't know about you, but when I have read this passage, I've asked myself more than once, why does Paul kind of contrast or compare the experience of the Holy Spirit with the experience of drunkenness? My mind just stretches back and forth, and I say to myself, well, I would have said it different, but nevertheless, Paul said it this way. And that's what we're going to be looking at for a few moments this morning. This idea of the Spirit of God coming into our lives and bringing a spiritual power, a spiritual liveliness, a spiritual resource that ends with the freeing of our faith in ways that we express and share our faith with one another as God's people. And he draws this contrast with drunkenness. And in some respects there is similarity, but in some respects there are sharp contrasts. I don't know about you, but the idea of drunkenness or being drunk with wine is a familiar scene in my mind. I grew up with it in my home. I grew up with it in my relatives, the reunions that we would have, big 50-gallon drums of beer and all the punch being spiked. And when Paul says that, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation," the Greek word simply means it leads to unrestrained living. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine because it influences and frees your spirit in a way that causes you to live unrestrained, and I have seen my share of unrestrained living through the years, much to my sorrow at times, seeing it in my own family, and much to my sorrow as a pastor as well. And I can still think of the time in which an individual was in my pastor's class, as high as a kite on alcohol and PCP, and he took me out to his car following the class and opened the trunk and showed me three dead rabbits frozen in an ice chest. And I said, "Well, Bob, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm starting Full Life Incorporated." And I said, "What's that?" He says, "Well, I'm freezing these rabbits and I'm going to bring them back to life. And when I perfect it, I will be doing it with human beings." I don't know about you, but just for me to think of that kind of unrestrained action causes me to kind of snicker inside, but yet there was sorrow in my heart when I talked to Bob out in the parking lot of the church that day. And oh, how my heart ached inside that he would be feeling the freedom of the Spirit, that his life would be changed by the presence of the Spirit in his life. Paul is not saying that the Spirit of God is a substance that stimulates us. But Paul is saying that in a way, we are, in a sense, individuals can be controlled by a substance. Yes, indeed, individuals can be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And yes, individuals can have unrestrained living in their minds, freedom of living and thought and action. And yes, when the Spirit of God comes, there is a freeing of one's life. But a different kind of freeing. You know, the Bible tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. The very last one in that list is self-control. So when the Spirit comes and brings freedom to our lives, it is not unrestrained living. But when the Spirit comes, there is controlling of our lives. There is an ordering of our lives. But nevertheless, there is a joy. There is an exhilaration. There is something going on with the emotions that one cannot fully explain, but one can experience it, and when one experiences it, they sense that there's a freedom here that no earthly substance can take the place of. I think of the disciples on the day of Pentecost. You remember they burst out of that upper room alive with the Spirit of God in their hearts. And the Bible tells us they were proclaiming the wonderful things that God had been doing for them. They were speaking in tongues, and many individuals said that they were drunk with new wine. So evidently, to onlookers who are not spiritual, when they look at the life of an individual who is filled by the Spirit of God, and they are praising God, and they are sharing God freely with someone else, they can only be looked at and thought of as perhaps not being all there. And you've had it happen perhaps in your life when you have seen someone sharing their faith so vibrantly and so spontaneously that in one sense you've been captivated by what's going on in their lives, but in another sense you say, well, they're not real. They're fakey. They're putting it on. But I suggest to you today that when the Spirit of God is present in the lives of His people, they will brim over with joy, they will brim over with thanksgiving and praise, they will brim over with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and they will be making melody in their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our passage says here. Verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And I like that phrase, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There have been times in which my heart has been melodious, and there have been times in which your heart has been melodious to the Lord. And those are precious experiences. Those are experiences that come because the Holy Spirit of God is present. And what Paul is telling us this morning is those experiences in which the Spirit is present and our hearts overflow with melody to the Lord need to be consistent. They need to be ongoing. That needs to happen every day in our lives. And what is exciting to me, the next couple of things that we'll be talking about are very important to me as your pastor this morning. And it's exciting to me to see that when the Spirit of God comes in the way in which Paul is talking, it touches relationships. It touches relationships. It has to do with our sharing together as a people of faith. You read it there in verse 19. It says, speaking to yourselves in the King James. In my translation, it says, speaking to one another. The modern translations all focus on the idea that we aren't speaking to ourselves privately, but rather we are speaking to one another. Paul is saying that when the Spirit of God brings the fullness of joy, when the Spirit of God comes in our lives and brings this inner exhilaration, we do not express that individualistically, off in some corner by ourselves in a closet, off on a hillside when nobody's around. But Paul is saying that the people of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, will be speaking to one another. And you know what that means to me? That tells me that when the Spirit of God comes and is present among the people of faith, that they will be sharing together on a personal level. That coming together for worship, coming together for times of recreation, for social gatherings, all these times, we are not to be seeing ourselves as a big corporate group, but rather as individuals relating to individuals. Hold your place here in Ephesians and turn with me to the book of Colossians. Paul has in mind and here in Colossians chapter 3, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. This is kind of a parallel statement where Paul is saying that we are to teach and admonish one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, being happy and glad spiritually in our hearts, thankful in our hearts. And when you put the two passages together, Paul is saying that when we come together, we are not only to have a vertical perspective where we are coming to worship God and all our minds and our hearts are lifted only to Him. Paul is saying that the gathering of God's people has a horizontal dimension. The gathering of God's people has interaction between themselves. And our coming together, whether it is on Sabbath morning or whether it's in a family worship experience, however it is when we gather together as Christians, there is to be personal interaction, sharing together on a personal level. And this moves, brothers and sisters, this moves from that kind of abstract, ethereal idea that we're all Christians, where we kind of know it but we don't talk about it, to that level where it is concrete and we are sharing with each other personally about our faith. Look with me back here in Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Ephesians 5:21, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Most commentators tie verse 21 with this whole experience of being filled by the Spirit and speaking to one another. And the thought in the passage is simply this, that normally we have inhibitions as individuals. There are some things that are safe to talk about, like cars and sewing machines and cross-stitching and how to bake a pumpkin pie. And then there are some things that are not so safe to talk about. And that's where I am spiritually and what God has been doing in my life spiritually. The spiritual aspect of our life is perhaps one of the most personal areas of our life. And may I say, I feel it a lot in this community in Berrien Springs. And I would say in any community where Adventists are sharing, are working together on a regular basis, and we shop together, we work together, you know, we go to entertainment together, we're always together. One of the last bastions of privacy often is on the spiritual level. But Paul is saying that we are to be subject to one another. Paul says that we are to be breaking down the walls, the barriers, the things that inhibit and keep us from coming together and sharing together on that personal, spiritual level. Paul is simply saying, and I draw your mind to a passage or two that's probably familiar in your mind, where Paul says that we should have the mind of Christ, that we are not to look out for ourselves only, but we are to look on the interests of others, the interests of those around us. Paul is saying in the book of Hebrews that when we gather together, we are to consider how to provoke or to stir one another up to good works. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but as the day of Christ draws near, we're to be closer and closer together and be stirring one another. We've already read in Colossians where we're to admonish and teach one another. The whole idea is Paul is saying that when we come together, whether it's today, in the foyer, between services, or sitting around the dinner table after service, or when we come to Vespers, or even when we meet in the parking lot at Apple Valley, or spontaneously at Myers, that our conversation needs to revolve around those things that are common to us as Christians. It needs to revolve around spiritual things, our faith, and what Jesus Christ has been doing for us, because He knows that this is where caring ministry takes place. This is what ministry is all about. As I've read these passages, I feel Paul's appealing. It's appealing for us to submit ourselves, as it were, humble ourselves and open our hearts, knowing that when I open my heart to you, it will prove a blessing to you spiritually. And when you open your heart to me, you will prove a blessing to me spiritually. There are so many things going on in our lives that should not be kept to ourselves. So many wonderful things going on in our lives that should not be kept to ourselves, but shared in a spontaneous and free and rich way with one another, because it will stir up the faith of another. And may I say also, there are some bad things that are going on in our lives that need to be shared with one another too. God sees His people as threads in a fabric, intimately related together. And He calls upon us to share on that level, the spiritual level of our lives.
I look at that verse there where it says, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. He's talking about the heart level. He's talking about the emotional level. He's talking about the spiritual level. And in my short years as a pastor, the churches that I have seen that have been growing are the churches that have been sharing on the emotional level, the spiritual level. And I'm not talking about emotionalism. But when there are shared spiritual, shared emotional experiences, hearts are bound together. There is a gluing, there is a bonding experience that you cannot explain. But nevertheless, it is there. There comes a concern, there comes a caring, there comes a support and a spiritual resource present in the church that causes the church to grow and become vibrant. And as I had one individual tell me in my previous congregation, he was not an Adventist, but he had been to our worship services several times. I saw him on the sidewalk outside the church one day, and he says, "Pastor Larry," he says, "this place is like a spider's web." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, because when you get in here, you get caught." And he was talking. He was talking about the level of sharing that was taking place that made him feel comfortable in being who he was. Because people did not come with masks. But people came with the Spirit of God and a willingness to share. And when you look across North America, you look in the world field, the churches that are growing are the churches where there is a warm, spontaneous, caring, sharing going on between members. As I look at our church family, there's some wonderful sharing and caring going on in our church family. And I believe the Spirit of God is saying that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The level of caring and sharing can go deeper than what we've yet experienced. And in that setting, brothers and sisters, an atmosphere can be created in which the Spirit of God will be free to bring healing to the hurting souls of people that come and worship here. Because God will use your praise to strengthen someone else's heart. And the answered prayer in somebody else's life will give us strength together as a body to move forward. I hear Paul saying that when the Spirit of God is present in the lives of His people, they will be focusing on praise. There in verse 20 it says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." The songs, the hymns, the spiritual songs, the speaking together, the melody in our hearts has to do with our reflecting on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Paul isn't saying that we are to give thanks because our house, our home is falling apart. We're not supposed to be giving thanks because someone is now lying in the grave. We are not to give thanks because we're struggling with a disease. That's not what Paul's talking about when he says give thanks in all things. But he is saying that throughout the course of our lives, we will always have something to give praise to God for. Even in the midst of our sorrow, we can know and sense and feel God's presence and His working and His blessings, and so we can still give thanks even though there is something that we may not be thankful for. I believe that Paul is calling us to review. He's calling you individually. He's calling me individually to review the blessings, to review the gifts that Jesus Christ
has brought to our lives. I think of Jacob. I've been reading Patriarchs and Prophets recently, and my heart was warmed when I read of Jacob returning to his homeland, stopping there at Bethel, and God telling Jacob, He says, I want you to enter into a deeper covenant with Me. And so he turned to his family and he says, let's lay aside all the gods, all the foreign things that are present in our family. And the Bible says that they took their gods and their jewelry and all the things that focused their attention away from God, and they buried them under the oak tree at Mamre. Exciting thing is during that time of spiritual renewal, Jacob sat down and recounted to his sons, to his children, the blessings that God had given, how God had appeared to him in a dream 20 years before. And we are told, as the sons of Jacob heard the testimony of their father, their hearts were subdued and quieted. It was a time of spiritual journey, a time of spiritual feasting for the sons of Israel. And what God is saying is, when I take time to reflect on how He has led me in the past, how He has helped me through college, how I could graduate from college with my diploma in my hand and a wife in my arms and her diploma in her hand. It's a miracle. I need to remember how God has led me in that way in the past. I need to remember how God has spoken to me when I was 12 years old and led me to Himself. And if I hadn't accepted Him as my Savior then, my life would be totally different today. I know it. How God has given us a home here in Berrien Springs. How God has given us a church family. How God is working in the hearts of individuals, and there are conversions taking place and changes in people's lives taking place. All these things that I can be grateful for. And what God is saying is, I need to stop and review those things, and then I need to turn around and I need to share them with you, because you need to know what God is doing in my life. And I need to know what God is doing in your life. David says it like this in Psalm 22. He says, I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation, he says in Psalm 40. And then in Psalm 116, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all my people. And that is the message of Scripture from Old Testament to New Testament, that the people of God are a sharing people. The people of God are sharing what God is doing in their lives. They have moved from the level of motorcycles and the latest TV program to the level of the Spirit of God working in their lives. They've moved from the level of saying, how's the weather today? To the level of, what has God done in your life today? And when I read the picture, when I read the Scriptures and I even think of Thanksgiving, I don't think of turkey and stuffing. As the lady at the bank told me yesterday, she says, I ate so much yesterday, I'm paying for it today. That's not what I think of when I think of Thanksgiving. An image of people having melody in their hearts, having joy in their hearts because God has been richly blessing. That picture comes to my mind. There is joy, and that joy flows over. It brims over. There is spontaneous expression of spiritual thanksgiving because of God's presence. And I admit to you as your pastor, I do not do what I'm preaching about as much as I sense I need to. And we do not do it as a church family. You know, today, before today ends, my heart's desire is that each one of us will reflect back the past, the far past, the distant past, or even the recent past, and call up some tremendous blessings and turn and share those blessings with a heart filled with joy to someone else. And give thanks to Jesus Christ. Give Him glory. And together kneel down and pray together and thank Him together for what He has been doing in our lives. What do you say? That's what we need. That's what the church of God, filled with the Spirit of God, will be doing. And you know, something comes to my mind. Often I cannot share what God has been doing in my life without sharing where I have been in my life. Now, do you understand what I've said? It's easy for us to share, "Oh, God, help me. I got a good deal on this car." Or, "We were able to build a house here in Berrien Springs." Or, you know, any number of things. But, you know, usually there's another dimension to all those things. How about the soul searching that went on and the struggles that went on before God answered? Or before this blessing came? You know, when we start telling others what God has been doing in our lives, we start revealing a little bit about ourselves, don't we? Start revealing some of the struggles we've had and some of the sorrow that we've had and some of the tears that we've shed and some of the anxiety that we've felt. And that's what it means to submit to one another. It means opening ourselves and humbling ourselves and letting other individuals step in to our experience so that they can see what God has been doing for us. And when they see what God has been doing for us in our real experience, it will give them courage to believe that God can step into their lives and help them with their real experience too. A friend of mine is visiting today, coming and spending the week with Maureen. When I left Maryland, her husband was divorcing her. She was pregnant with her third child. She's gone through an awful lot in the last couple years. Just this week, she's had four ladies call her and unburden to her the pain in their lives because their homes, their husbands, are proving unfaithful. Darlene has something to share. Because she opens her heart, she can praise the Lord how the Lord has helped her through her pain. And that testimony of faith, that spontaneous sharing, gives hope and gives courage and gives strength to other hurting people. I read a story this last week. I see our time has slipped away. I read a story this last week about a fellow that got so tired of being in business, all the hassles, that he decided he'd buy a farm. So he bought a rather large farm in Texas, bought some cattle. He didn't know anything about ranching, but he certainly was able to have quality time with his family. They were doing a lot of things together, his family, even if it was pitching manure. It's still family time. But he tells of the coldest day of winter, one of the coldest days of winter for several years.
And how he was out riding his horse and looking at the cows and fearful at the cows, wondering if the cows would survive the night because it was going to go down so far below zero and the wind was blowing like crazy. And as he was checking the cows out, he noticed that one of his prize cows was getting ready to give birth to a calf, and his heart sank. He almost drove his cows back from the fields to the barn, but he knew that he shouldn't do that at nighttime. And so he went back home, and he tossed and he turned all night long, wondering what would happen to those cows in the middle of the night. And in the morning, he woke up and got dressed and got on his horse and rode on out through the fields. It was bitter cold. Then off in the distance, he finally saw the cows, and he was wondering if he'd see them all laying on their side frozen. But no, he saw them huddled together in one big group. And there in the center of that group was this cow who had given birth to a wobbly little bull. And in the middle of that cold night, they had gathered together and they had protected and they provided warmth and caring. I couldn't help but think as I read that of the people of God in a cold world, needing to draw together and find warmth of fellowship and protection because the Spirit of God is present. That warmth and that protection coming because of the heart overflowing with praise. And that praise is being shared personally and individually. And there is joy together as the people of God.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.